Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, November 28th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 45, the first paragraph, starting with "Lack of power, that was our dilemma," ending, "But where and how are we to find this power?" We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nina R., 12 Traditions, Shelley E., Reader of the Text, Lois P., Connie T. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Shelley E. The reference number for Sunday, November 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,681. That's 19681. And for this morning, Monday, November 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,682. That's 19682. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nina R. to read the 12 steps. Star 1, Nina.
Good morning. This is Nina from New York, anorexic bulimic. 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, taught through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all aspects. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nina R. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 45, the first paragraph, Lack of Power, That Was Our Dilemma, ending, But where and how are we to find this power? Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. I will now ask Lois P. to read and share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. And Dawn, thank you for your service. I'm Lois P. from New York, gratefully recovered. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? In this paragraph, for me, we have come to the end of a road. For years, and in many cases, and in my case, actually, for a lifetime, I made every effort to conquer this insidious eating disorder, to reason it away, to muscle my way through it, to somehow figure out how to master it. What I thought was a seemingly ridiculous bad habit of overeating, like I'd seen so many other people overcome this, I thought, with diet and exercise. But exhausted by years of failed efforts, I finally gave up. And that's what's alluded to in this paragraph. And I acknowledge that only something greater, much greater than me, than myself, could save me. But where and how to find this power? So the road to freedom and to a new life, for me, I see lies in the very asking of the question, where and how? The state of innocent not knowing became a fertile ground for me for new seed to be planted, for new ideas, new ways of being to take root. I had to step out of the way. I had to be broken. I had to really have tried every single thing in my power before I realized I couldn't do this. Even though I could do so many other things, I couldn't do this. So I ended up in a state of unknowing and innocent, like calling out to something greater. And at that moment, we become teachable. We're willing to learn. Our egos diminish and really, hopefully, dissolve. And a space is provided for a greater reality to come into our lives. Certainly, it did for mine. So I do my best to live in that question, where and how. I do my best to live in that state of not knowing anything, really. And I try to reside in that union with the question, with that unknowing, with that greater reality. and that gives me incredible peace. And in this paragraph, we see this is the doorway that opens to a new life. So thank you very much, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. I'm now going to open up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Nina
B.
Southern California, please.
Nina R. And then
Jamie
I had
M.
Jamie M. And there was another voice right before Jamie.
Dina B.
Dina B.
Bruce
Becca
E.
R.
Okay, Becca R. and Bruce E.
Kathleen O.
And Kathleen O. Let's go ahead and stop there. Okay, let me know if I missed anyone. Nina R., Jamie M., Dina B., Becca R., Bruce E., Kathleen O. Did I miss someone? Okay, let's go ahead with Nina R., please, followed by Jamie M.
Hi, this is Nina R. from New York City Anorexic Clinic. And Lois, thank you so much. And Dawn, thank you so much. But Lois,
Star One, Nina.
Oh, sorry, guys. I was like talking to myself. Nina from New York, anorexic bulimic, and lack of power. I mean, that's exactly where I am in my recovery right now. I'm at the end. And Lois, I loved what you said about not knowing and being in that place of not knowing, but perhaps leaning towards trusting something greater than myself. Like, I give up. I surrender. I'm done. You know, you mentioned being able to do everything except conquer this food disease. And that's my story. Like, I keep on thinking I can do it alone. And I can't. And there's so many people on this line willing to help. And on other meetings. And I'm just so burned out. I'm trying to manage and control this fucking eating disorder. Excuse me. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you so much, Nina R. Jamie M., please share with us, followed by Dina B.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jamie M. from Irvine, California. I'm a compulsive eater, exercise bulimic, and lack of power, the unknown. Oh, boy. You know, that's step one, and the principle goes on its two. I had to call my sponsor. I chose to, with God's help. I didn't have to. It's a choice. I called my sponsor, and I had to surrender back to step one, not with food, with other issues that are coming up. And it was like I was back in the food. These behaviors that were unknown, just like food. Like, okay, why can't I get the diet? I didn't know about Overeaters Anonymous. Why am I different? Why can somebody just eat one, and I need to eat the entire box plus more? And then it stays in my head all day long. And I would watch people that I would hang with, and I never understood till I walked in the room and I heard my story. I didn't get it right away. I wasn't one of those well-learners. I was still driving the bus. And today, what I can say is I'm in the solution. I surrendered yesterday to her. And it's not easy to make that change because that's called unknown. I have a routine. I've been in this routine for almost 2.5 years. And it's time to get out. If nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, I'll keep going to that solution that isn't the problem. So with this suggestion of my sponsor, I started listening to the doctor's opinion again. And I'm in 40 minutes, and I have to listen.
And then the next time I get a listen, I got to take notes. It's not easy for me to sit still, but it's probably the best medicine I could use. And thank you, God, I have somewhat a spiritual practice, because I'd still be in the food. I'd still be doing my own behavior. I'd still be driving my bus, and I'd still be crazy. So thank you for letting me share. I appreciate everybody here, and I'm going to stay in the solution, connect with all of you. And Dawn, thank you for your service. And boy, I'm going to take those two words, lack of power and the unknown, and I'm going to use those today every time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Jamie M. from California. Dina B., please share with us, followed by Becca R.
Hi, this is Dina B. from New Hampshire, a grateful recovered compulsive eater. And I wanted to share about finding my higher power. I've always believed in a power greater than myself as long as I can remember, God. I worshiped God and I went to him when I had problems, but it took OA and his drawing me near to develop a daily relationship with him. I'm so thankful that God led me to the 12-step program, which in turn led me back to him. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and undereater, grateful because it was this disease that brought me to my knees. When I admitted my powerlessness, not only over food, but over people, places, and things, help appeared through his guidance, this 12-step program, and all of you. Admitting powerlessness was the beginning of hope for me. God has done for me what I could not do for myself. I have a wonderful sponsor who holds me accountable and encourages me. I have a wonderful sponsee who I learn from, who deepens my understanding, thoughts, and ideas with her many questions. I am truly blessed. I pray for a blessed and abstinent day for all of you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dina B. from New Hampshire. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Bruce E.
Hey, good morning. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I actually identified to an outreach call today that I'm a exercise bulimic, a breastfeeding bulimic, any way I can get rid of it bulimic. I want to share about how God came to me in this last relapse after having a baby and food became really gray. And what I mean by that is volume became an issue, and portions, and my abstinent safe food and volume is what brought me back to my knees. And it's so interesting because I thought, you know, a relapse would look a certain way, very much the way that brought me to OA and, you know, years ago. It's been almost 8 years now. But it didn't. It was so cunning and baffling and powerful. But my gratitude comes in an ever-deepening experience with my higher power. I never actually left the rooms of OA, and for a bit I was living in the delusion that I was still recovered and abstinent and sane. And then the shades drew back very quickly, and I got honest with myself and then with another person about the sneaky things I was doing again. And it was in that surrender that God again entered into my heart, into my life, and one day at a time showed me which next action to take. I started working with a new sponsor. I was willing to do the work again. That was a lot of work. It was the beginning of summer break, and I have 3 kids, but I wanted what she had, and I was willing to do what she did. So every opportunity I had, I would do the work. I would listen to podcasts, do readings, make outreach calls, meditate, pray, because I was so ready for a new experience. And that is what I had to share today, is that I'm abstinent and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I've worked the 12 steps, and I'm carrying the message, which brings me back to the 12 steps. So grateful to be here. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Bruce E., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O. And just before Bruce shares, I want to let everybody know we're on page 45, the first paragraph, talking about lack of power. That was our dilemma, ending with, but where and how were we to find this power? So, Bruce E., please share with us.
Well, you just gave my speech right there. So, thank you. Thanks, everybody, on this line. I'm recovered. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Lehigh Acres, Florida, which is just a few miles east of Fort Myers, Florida, where I'm out of my home here. And so temporarily here. Glad to be here. Glad to be abstinent, sober today, and recovered. So lack of power. So here's a question. Okay, if it's a lack of power. Well, I thought for years that the power would be come and be funneled through me to overcome the food addiction. You know, I thought that's all it was. I asked for God for the power. I said, you know, give me the power, God, and work it through me, and I won't have this food problem. Well, in my case, with the food anyway, it didn't work that way. The way it worked, the best I can describe this, is that God comes with the power for me. God came with the power and took it away. He didn't come and put the power in me or give me the power to take it away. He came with the power and he took it away. So see, that way I could give him the credit for it. You know, otherwise, if it had been the other way where he had worked it through me, then I'd taken the credit for it, you know, and then I could brag about it, how well I did, and I'm recovered, and because I did this, I'm so cool and all that. So, lack of power. Well, why didn't I have that power? Why didn't I have that power in me? Anyway, why didn't I have it here in me? Because I'm powerless. You know, that's why, because I'm powerless. So I didn't have the power in me. Because I'm powerless, so God had to come and take it away, almost apart from me, but not through me. But he came and did it. So then the question is, well, how did God do that? Well, the way he did it was, which still blows my mind, I got a sponsor. I got on this call after 25, 30 years struggling with food in the program, Dieting with Group Support. I got a sponsor, and when the sponsor and I read this big book together, that's when he came with the power to take the obsession and the compulsion away and allow me to put down the red light foods, get on a food plan, stay on a food plan, you know. So that's the way it worked for me. I mean, thank God for that. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? I think it's found through working with another addict, working with another food addict together, then the power comes. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Kathleen O., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for moderating this morning. And this is Kathleen O. in California, recovered compulsive overeater. So if I believe in the previous chapter and more about alcoholism, that I am a compulsive overeater, knowing that I can't lick this problem on my own, and I believe I do indeed have a problem, I'm not being told in this paragraph that food is my problem. I'm being told my problem is lack of power. So the solution is power. My dilemma is I have to decide between two equally undesirable choices, or so they seemed when I first began this journey. Do I want to keep eating and doing things my way? And for me, misery went with that choice. Or do I want to find this power with a capital P by which I could live? And that didn't sound like an easy choice, because how do I find this power and how am I going to stop playing God? Because playing God was really my biggest problem. So at this point, the big book doesn't talk about alcohol anymore. It talks about how to get this power. And if I could have found the power to put the food down any other way, believe me, I wouldn't be here. I love all of you guys on the line, but honestly, I wouldn't be here. And a sick mind can't heal a sick mind. You know, I wasn't going to solve my problem on my own. I had spent decades trying. Our higher power is our own, and it will be revealed to us when we work the steps. So the power will only relieve you from the bakery boxes and all the lovely items that go with these holidays. But for me, it stopped me from, you know, it stopped me from living from my self-sufficient ways so that I could actually live, because I truly had a living problem. The food and weight were merely symptoms of an underlying problem. So these pages show us how to have a spiritual experience, which will solve our problem. But how do we choose a power greater than ourselves? You know, there, and the truth is there's no right way. Practicing prayer and meditation was helpful for me. Asking other people what worked helped me. And, you know, I ended up choosing nature. We can initially choose anything that works for us. And, you know, many people can benefit from a 12-step program, but are turned off by this component. And this happened to me at my first OA meeting in my 20s. All I heard in that meeting was God, God, God. And I left the meeting. And I didn't come back to 12-step recovery for 30 years. But leaving the meeting didn't solve my problem either. So, you know, left to my own devices, I wasn't going to get any relief from my food addiction. Lack of power is our dilemma. Step two came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's all about spirituality. Came to believe this disease is true lack of power. And this chapter is going to help us find the power. It won't help if you still think or believe you can control your eating. It's not going to help if you still think that. For me, I had to get out of my head and get into my heart. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every Thursday in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Annette M.
Annette
Larry
M.
G. Larry G.
Larry G. Noel
W.
E.
W. E.
Noel E. Deb E.
Deb E.
And, okay, I have Annette M., Larry G., Noel E., Deb E. Who did I miss?
Deborah G.
Deborah G., and there was one other person?
Kristen C.
Kristen C. Okay, we're going to stop there. Okay, very good. Annette M., please share with us, followed by Larry G.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Annette M., gratefully recovered compulsive eater, on vacation in Mexico and lived in Toronto, Canada. Just, you know, it's amazing. Here I am on vacation and I'm dialing in, and just like if I get a power through this group. And I remember in the beginning when I came in, and even in times of relapse that I've had, the word powerless, the whole idea, I didn't understand it. It didn't go from my head to my heart. And that's the key of the program is, I've had to keep coming. I just, because there's nothing else that works. And I have to keep coming back to get what I have at this moment, which is a spiritual experience, spiritual awakening. I just, a broken brain can't fix a broken brain. We need the power. And to understand powerlessness, I've needed to experience it, bumps, scrapes, all of it, as long as I kept coming back, it's always available. God doesn't leave me. I turn away from him, but he doesn't turn away from me. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Annette M. from Toronto, Canada. Larry G., please share with us, followed by Noel E.
Good morning, everybody. This is Larry G. from California. What a phenomenal fellowship and meeting. I've been around a long time, and those of you who are brand new to OA, who are just coming to OA for the first time, God, you have the most amazing fellowship resource support in OA. That's just my opinion. There's a lot of good meetings out there, but for me, this meeting has just been a game changer. Well, I think Bruce E. is just right on. I mean, spot on. It's my belief that I find God through a sponsor, a recovered sponsor, in working steps. I mean, how can a diseased mind that puts alcoholic foods on the altar, the altar of worship and devotion, how can a diseased mind who is just so fogged up, it's like an alcoholic coming off the street, I don't care what the religious training is, if that worked, why are we here? But I think it's through my sponsor that I continue to make this connection and learn and grow my understanding of the power of my misunderstanding. I was in church on Sunday, meditation, and I had this revelation that my life could have been a great life, could have been a great life without this disease. I could have done good deeds, been a good husband, father, community leader, whatever role, right? Could have been a great life. But there's a possibility that I would never have put the work in, because there's work to be done. This is a path less taken to develop a relationship with the God of my misunderstanding. And as I was sitting there, I realized suddenly that I'm finally grateful for compulsive overeating disease. I was ashamed of it for years. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I wasn't ashamed of it. It was like a badge of honor, right? 20, 30, 40 years in the program. But I was ashamed of being a compulsive eater, and I'm not ashamed anymore. Why? Because on May 17th, 2020, I had a complete rearrangement of my thinking, a complete sudden collapse of my thinking that was replaced with a devotion to God. Now, you know, however you want to describe this entity, the moment, you know, us humans call this the beautiful one or the ancient one or God or Christ or the Lord, right? We limited this power. And if you have a problem with us talking about, those of you who are out there who are new, having a problem talking about God, go find an Eastern religion that you know, God is not even in the vocabulary. But don't let this stop you from getting recovery, because it's on you then. It's on me. If I go away from this program because something I hear that doesn't match up or reflect, perfectly match up my perception, then it's on me. And with that, I pass. I love this program. Thank you, Lois, for starting us off, and I pass back to you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Noelle E., please share with us, followed by Deb E.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn, for your service. This is Noelle E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. Oh, man, lack of power. That was our dilemma. This is so good. And to, you know, continue to reiterate what I think a lot of people have shared, is what keeps me in that understanding is to be among the powerless, like this fellowship of people constantly talking about their lack of power and, you know, not working towards a goal, not working towards an end, you know, a finish line is to me the way higher power, you know, continues to just tell me I'm in the right place, is by hearing other people's testimonies, working with sponsees, working with my sponsor, talking to newcomers. I mean, I am so, so grateful to be among the powerless, because, you know, we are, we're never trying to, I don't know, give ourselves credit for getting anywhere. We just are doing it one day at a time. So yeah, I'm almost moved, you know, and not knowing what to say because of how glad I am for this, and how spot on all the shares have been. So just am very grateful for everyone, and yeah, happy to be powerless with all of you guys. All right, love you, bye.
Thank you, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I've been so focused on what everyone's saying, I really thought about what I wanted to say, but this part by which we could live is what caught my attention today. And it's made me think of how, like, from the start, I think I understood that this, like, I was going to need to figure out how this program could be something that my life could fit into, not that I could fit into my life, like that it was going to have to be a priority. And like, what are the things I could do? How could I work it so that I could live by it, right? Not just like something that I kind of schedule it in every so often, even though a lot of my programs have scheduled. But the power, I remember when it was pointed out, and something I had never noticed for years, the difference between the uppercase T and the lowercase T, referring to like the lowercase T is the power I have and the uppercase T is what my higher power has. And I hear a lot of hope in these words. Like, I think the previous chapters, they're telling us they had all those stories about, you know, the jaywalker and Fred and Jim and everything. And they're talking about all about, like, all the issues that the disease causes. And here they're like, to me, it's like they're saying, don't worry, we're going to give you the solution too. Like, this power that you can decide exactly what it looks like and how you want to describe it, it's going to be there for you all the time. You just have to choose to ask it for help and ask for its guidance. And I feel like that's like the most consistent thing I've practiced in this program from the start, is that connection to a higher power. And it's grown over the years. And I feel like as the connection grows, the power grows. Like, if there was something bigger than an uppercase T, I feel like that's how I would label my higher power now. Like, that's how big and powerful I feel like it is. I ask for help, like, in everything. I even ask, like, for sharing on a meeting. You know, I ask for guidance of what I should say. And anyways, I don't know how long I've been talking, but I want to make sure to leave time for others. I will pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Kristen C.
Oh, good morning, Dawn, and thank you so much for your service and everyone for your service making this meeting possible. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on this line. This program is just amazing. I love OA Visions. I'm so grateful for it and the people that make it. And I remember going through the steps when I finally was able to get honest. You know, I had to get honest and admit to myself that I was a compulsive overeater and that I had no power. That's what really helped me so much within myself, to get that honesty about it. It was like I had and I like what was shared too about, it wasn't really about the food. It was about my not having power. And trying to find something again with my head doesn't work anymore. And that I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I was this, and that I had no power, and that I was like a weak battery. I had to get charged up. My sponsor was telling me, you know, you had to get a partnership, a relationship with this power, because I have no power. You know, and so how do I do that? You know, and what I learned was how I did that, how I connected, and I need to continue to stay connected even today, always with that power, was going through the rest of the steps. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience, and continues to be a beautiful experience. I need to continue to stay connected to power. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Kristen C., please share with us, and then I will take a name or two more. Kristen, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Kristen C. from New Mexico, and I really enjoyed this paragraph and hearing people talk about it. This is a great chapter for me. When I came into the program, I wouldn't have considered myself an agnostic. I had religious training and, you know, religious upbringing. But what I didn't really have was a personal relationship with my higher power that was effective, where the power was enacted in my life. And so when I came into the rooms of 12-step, for my compulsive eating disorders, I honestly was expecting some sort of behavior modification program. I had no idea what 12 steps meant. And when all this God talk started flying around, I was utterly confused and kind of turned off, which surprised even me because, as I said, I wouldn't have considered myself an agnostic. But the idea of God or a higher power having anything at all to do with how sick and messed up I was just really made no sense to me. But fortunately, I was at my rope's end. I was the desperate compulsive eater type. I mean, I was very, very sick. There was no question about that. And I tried everything to no avail of my own will. So I thought, well, I don't get this at all, but I'll just stick around. And what I've discovered, and that what I need to continue working on, what I can't forget, and I have a tendency to forget, is that working the steps produces a spiritual result. And that does infuse me with power outside of myself that keeps me sane. And that flows into sanity with my food choices. And I'm not going to claim complete sanity today. I still struggle with that, but way better than it used to be. And I definitely need a higher power. Now I get that. I need a higher power. I cannot do this without one. So I'm thankful to be reminded of that, and that the steps are my way to achieving connection.
Thank you so much, Kristen C. from New Mexico. And we're on page 45, talking about lack of power. That was our dilemma, that paragraph there. And we value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share on this? If I can take one or two more names.
Cynthia M.
Terry K.
Cynthia M. and Terry K. Go ahead, Cynthia. 2 minute shares, please. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm from Pennsylvania. And this chapter was so important to me because it was a missing piece. I believed in God, but I didn't believe that God had the power, or he wasn't. I didn't believe that he was really interested in my food. And I have a tendency to make things more complicated than they have to be. This is just very simple. And so when I finally got that, you know, that God will help me with the food, but I need to trust him, you know, like during times when I think I need food and it's not really time yet, God will help me get through that. He always has the answer, and he has the answer for everything in life. Now that I have some abstinence behind me, I get God speaking through other people and in the still small voice. So it's just been such a miracle for me, and things, you know, I can feel myself recovering really rapidly now, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cynthia N. from Pennsylvania. Terry K., please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Terry Kay. I'm driving. Hopefully the background noise isn't too bad. I'm from Tennessee, recovered, and I don't share much on the line, and this really speaks to me. I grew up with a religion that had God but no relationship with God, and certainly God wasn't ever something that had power. I was told that it was all about self-control and willpower, that I had this problem with food, and if only I wanted it badly enough, and if only I had enough willpower and self-control, then surely I could lose weight and keep it off. And I could lose weight, but I could not keep it off. And when I came into the rooms of OA, I didn't know at first until I started working in the program with a sponsor that that it was a lack of power that was my dilemma. And what a relief, what an absolute relief that I didn't have power. Because when I was told I had power, then I failed because my power failed me. But when I was told I didn't have power, then I wasn't a failure anymore. I was just somebody with this twofold illness. And the physical allergy, my higher power doesn't control that. My higher power doesn't remove my physical allergy. I choose to not put substances in my body that trigger the allergy. But my higher power, when I work these steps, has removed my obsession, which would take me back to that first compulsive bite. And so I'm so grateful to be reminded. This, to me, this sentence, this paragraph, is the key that opened up the door to let me recover, because the guilt, the shame, the remorse, the lack of power, the failure, all of that just fell off of me, just was completely removed. And now I have a way of life that's better and wilder than my best dreams ever, because now I can be free. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry Kay from Tennessee. And I have time for a one-minute share if someone would like to take that. Or I can give more time to the newcomers. All right, let's go ahead. Since no one's saying anything, we'll go ahead and end there. Beautiful meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Connie T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yeah, thank you for your service. This is Connie T., recovered in Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.